Braves, Bulldogs, Falcons, Yellow Jackets, Hawks, Eagles. From the heart of Georgia, it's the Bill Shanks Show.
Hour number four of our show. Welcome back. I'm Bill Shanks with Russell Brown. We are talking sports here for the next 45 minutes or so until we turn it over to the Braves Radio Network for Game 1 of the National League Championship Series between the Atlanta Braves and the Los Angeles Dodgers. Phone lines are open if you'd like to join in, 478-646-ESPN. Give us your prediction on the Braves. If you'd like to talk about the fact that Dan Quinn and Thomas Dimitroff are now unemployed, please do. Or if you want to talk Georgia football, you can. Georgia Tech, how about the Yellow Jackets from Friday night? That was a heck of a win that shocked everybody, I think. That's for sure. So plenty to talk about. Of course, we'll be talking about these subjects all week long. Tomorrow, we'll be on until 4:40, Russ. What do you think?
Yeah, 4:45. Yeah, they'll just start the pregame tomorrow at 4:50.
Okay, so we'll be on until 4:45. Same with Wednesday, as the game will be at 6 o'clock. Kind of weird, but that's the way it is. They're going to have games 2 and 3 at 6 o'clock, so we'll see how that goes. The Rays are beating Tampa Bay right now, 3-0 in the top of the sixth inning. Rays up 1-0 in the series. So there you go. All right. If you call, that'd be great. We'd love to hear from you. If not, Russ and I are going to talk about the series a little bit. Braves and Dodgers. How do the Braves win this? Well, let's be honest. If the Braves do anything close to what they did with the starting pitching in the first two series, well, they're going to win. But they're not. They're not going to have multiple shutouts in this series. Let me tell you, if that happens, the Braves are going to win the World Series, okay? Just go ahead and write it down. And the Braves might win the World Series, but it's going to be very difficult to shut this team out because the Dodgers are full of good hitters. You go around this lineup, and it's just one after the other. And you've got Will Smith, one of the best young catchers in the game, who's really, really impressive. You've got, obviously, former MVP Cody Bellinger. You've got Corey Seager, who's a great shortstop. Mookie Betts, one of the best players in the game. You've got, Justin Turner is a tremendous playoff performer. He hadn't done very well this year, but he's done great in the years they've been going to the playoffs. A.J. Pollock's a solid player. Max Muncy's a power threat, no doubt about that. I mean, they've got a stacked lineup. It is not without warts like the Braves lineup, as far as some strikeout issues and some swing and miss issues, basically, where some of their OBPs are not what they need to be. But these are two great lineups. And I think the Braves have some advantages here. I mean, you look at first base, advantage Braves, Freeman over Max Muncy. You look at the catcher, I'll take Travis d'Arnaud over Will Smith. Very close, but I'll take d'Arnaud. You take second base, where they've got Chris Taylor. I'll take Ozzie over Chris Taylor. I will. Now, they're not going to win short or third. That's going to go to the Dodgers with Seager over Dansby. Dansby's been great, but Seager's just a better player. And Justin Turner is a very good veteran player that would get the edge over Austin Riley. Left field, you probably give Pollock the advantage over Duvall, although I think that's as close to a draw as you can get with these two teams. Because we know, both batting averages, well, Cody, A.J. Pollock's batting average is not low. Duvall's kind of an all-or-nothing player. Center field, I'll take Acuna over Bellinger because Bellinger's not had a great year like he did last year and the year before. Mookie Betts gets the nod in right, obviously, over Markakis. And at DH, I don't think there's any doubt, Marcell Ozuna gets that. Starting pitching, it's difficult to say just immediately the Dodgers have the edge in starting pitching because obviously the Braves starting pitching has been so different here in the last couple of weeks. I mean, listen to some of these things here that we can talk about. Kyle Wright, last four games, ERA of 1.80. Ian Anderson, including the two postseason games, he's pitched in eight games this year, 6 regular season, two postseason. He's got an ERA of 1.47. We know how great Max has been. Overall ERA, 2.42. 13 games, two starts, obviously, in the postseason so far. I mean, these three guys have been great. And Kershaw has had trouble in the playoffs before. Bueller, they're questioning him because of his blisters. So it's easy to quickly say Los Angeles, but I mean, what can we expect from these three Braves kids? Can't be good for the Dodgers not to have ever seen Ian Anderson. Can't be good for the Dodgers to have never seen Kyle Wright. So it kind of gives you hope, doesn't it? And the bullpen is just a wash. Bullpen for both teams is just a tremendous strength. I mean, these could be some low-scoring games, and that's what makes you think, all right, if it's low-scoring games, could that mean, ? That the power is going to take over and the Braves are going to have the advantage, even though the Dodgers hit more home runs than the Braves, but not recently. Recently, the Braves lineup's been much more powerful. I mean, the Dodgers had 118 home runs, Braves 103, first and second in the National League in home runs. So, I mean, Russ, this is such a tight series. I think after I did my notes and I sent them to you, I felt better about Atlanta's chances because I saw exactly how close this is, and I'm not trying to just blindly match the Braves up with everything that the Dodgers have, because the Dodgers were an elite and have been an elite team this year, but the Braves got to be taken seriously by this team, or if not, they're going to win the daggum series.
Yeah, I think so. And you know, the big question I had about the Braves, and I think I said numerous times throughout the season, you know, the Braves, da-da-da-da-da, but they're not going to beat the Dodgers. And, you know, you look at what they did statistically, both teams, and kind of compare it side by side, and the big thing that jumped out was starters ERA. And that's why there's no way in the world, even, you know, 3 weeks ago, I would have picked the Braves or even given thought to the Braves winning this series. But after what Ian Anderson and Kyle Wright did, especially in that divisional series against the Marlins, I think that's where Braves fans have a lot of confidence now, because I felt all year the Braves lineup is just as good, if not better than, the Dodgers. The Braves bullpen is just as good, if not better than, the Dodgers. And the big difference was that starting pitching. And I think there's two factors that can really help these young pitchers for the Atlanta Braves, Anderson and Kyle Wright. Number one, it's a neutral field. I know there's going to be some fans there, but there's going to be no atmosphere. There's going to be nerves because it's the league championship series. But that it's not like they're in Dodger Stadium. This would be a completely different animal if Ian Anderson was taking the ball in Dodger Stadium in Game 2. So you don't have to worry about that. Yeah. And the fact that the Dodgers haven't seen these two guys, I think, could help as well. So those are a couple reasons. I mean, I'm confident. I think the Braves are going to win the series. Now, those two young men are obviously going to have to perform. I don't expect them to do what they did against the Marlins. But, I think that's those two guys in particular, Kyle Wright and Ian Anderson. For those Braves fans out there that were like me that just kept thinking all summer, well, yeah, it's a fun lineup, but this starting pitching, I mean, this rotation's a dumpster fire. There's no way they're getting past the Dodgers in the postseason. I think our minds have been changed.
Well, it's been amazing, obviously, of what they have been able to do in these five games they played so far, giving up only four runs, and that was Max. But the first game, obviously, he was tremendous. Seven innings of shutout ball against Cincinnati. And, you know, the part of me is a little worried about Max because he grew up a Dodger fan. But, again, I think like what you said about not being in Dodger Stadium, you know, I'm sitting here watching the Astros and the Rays in Petco Park in San Diego, and there is no doubt the environment of what it would be like if they were in Houston or even in Tampa Bay or St. Petersburg is completely different compared to being in an empty stadium, where there's no home field advantage. The only home field advantage the Dodgers are going to have in four of the seven games is that they'll hit last. That's it. But the Braves are not going to have to go to Chavez Ravine. They're not going to have to host the Dodgers. So it is neutralized, obviously, to a large degree. I think Max and everybody has called up here and said this game one is so important, and I can't disagree with that. I think against a team that has a lot of experience in the playoffs, you want to put them behind the eight ball. Look, in a way, all the pressure's on the Dodgers. Dodgers have won, what, 8 straight division titles? Been a 2 World Series? Lost to the Astros and then the Red Sox? The pressure's on the Dodgers. They have the pressure on them because if they lose again in the LCS like they did last year to the Nationals, people are going to say, well, and I think Ken from Cumming asked the question earlier, can Dave Roberts, the manager, win the big game? And like it or not, that's going to be a fair question if they cannot win again after going 43-17 in 60-game schedule. So the pressure's on them a little bit. How does that help the Braves not be pressured? Well, and I want to say this. I was talking to a friend of mine last night about the Braves because he asked me, and he's out of state. He lives out of state, so he's not as close to the situation as someone who's kind of watched it like I have this year and you have as well. But he's like, why is this team doing this? And he wondered if they were more talented last year with Josh Donaldson. I said, well, I think you just touched on something that's very interesting. And I had a theory that I thought was kind of correct. What's the difference between this year's team and last year's team? Well, and it has nothing to do with Fulton Evich not pitching for the Braves or Luke Jackson not being in the bullpen or Ender Inciarte being on the roster. In a way, I believe the difference in this year's Atlanta Braves team can go right toward Marcell Ozuna. Let me tell you the difference, in my opinion, between Marcell Ozuna and Josh Donaldson. They're both cocky players. Josh Donaldson is a cocky prick, though. Just being honest, okay? He's a jerk. I think you saw that. I mean, he's a hothead. You know, he wanted to kill Joe Musgrove last year. You know, he stared him down. I mean, I just think Josh Donaldson's a prick. Just being honest. Totally honest. I don't think Marcell Ozuna is. I think Marcell Ozuna has fit in so perfectly because he's got swagger as well. He's got that little confidence. I mean, my God, he led the league in home runs and RBI this year. So it's there. But I don't think it's a turn-off, selfish swagger like what I perceived Donaldson had last year. I think John, and I said this last year and I got jumped on big time. I think Josh Donaldson was all about Josh Donaldson. Remember when I said that last year, Russ, and everybody jumped on me for that?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. No.
But can't you see kind of the difference in how two players can have a swagger by simply seeing the difference between Josh Donaldson and Marcell Ozuna? Isn't that kind of apparent?
You know, it is, but it's really, I mean, it's hard to really point to any one thing. And I think with the difference is probably the struggles, because when Josh Donaldson was struggling, you know, especially you mentioned that incident with Musgrave, just remember him walking back into the dugout after that and nobody really wanted to look at him or yeah, really acknowledge him. And so it's not that he wasn't a part of the team, because we saw the stuff with the umbrella and the rainmaker and all the bringer of rain and all that stuff. So they were having fun by the end of the year. But it's like it took a while. The day Marcell Ozuna showed up, all of a sudden, instead of seeing Ozzie and Acuna, you know, the inseparable pair, it became the inseparable trio. It's like that's he just right. fit right in with those two right out of the gate. And I just think, you know, it's one of those chemistry things that's hard to put a finger on. But Ozuna's just a better fit on this team.
I agree. And I think that dynamic you just talked about with Acuna and Ozzy is a very important part of this. Look, I do believe that Josh Donaldson was all about Josh Donaldson. I do. I said it last year and got just hammered on social media like I gave a damn. But it was true. He wanted to pat his stats, get out, and go. That's what he did. That's fine. I'm glad. I didn't want him here anyway. But Ozuna has kind of assimilated into this environment, I think, more easily. And you look, Brian Sicker got a call from Mike Shildt, the Cardinals manager, right when the Braves signed Marcell Ozuna, telling him how great Ozuna was in the clubhouse and how heartbroken he was that the Cardinals did not re-sign this guy. But even with a horrible spring training, which Marcell Ozuna had a horrible spring training, there was something that just fit with him in this clubhouse. And I think it's the Latin American impact of him and Ozzy and Acuna just simply kind of gelling together. To me, that has kind of defined what this team's all about. You know, Freddie's the leader in a great, great way, obviously. But the energy that exudes from Acuna and Ozzy has always been, since the two of them got together 2 years ago, just a big part of this team, of the environment and mood of what this team is. There's no doubt of the fun those two are having, and it rubs off. I mean, you have fun watching them, so it's easier to watch them, and it's fun to watch. And now you add Ozuna, who turned around and led the National League in home runs and RBI. I mean, that's pretty daggum cool. And so I think the difference in this team and last year's team is partly thrown right at Marcell Ozuna. I do. I believe that difference in his swagger. I just thought a Donaldson swagger was offensive to a certain extent. It was I don't know. It's all hard to articulate. I think if you've seen this year's team and how Ozuna has acted and reacted and fit in compared to what you saw last year, and even as Russ said toward the end of the year, because they didn't know how to take Josh Donaldson early on. They didn't. And you give him credit for that Musgrove incident, because that Musgrove incident, obviously with Pittsburgh in what, May, triggered him to get back on track. So it was a very interesting dynamic to watch him last year. But I just get a whole different vibe about this team right now. I get the vibe of they're having fun, they're enjoying it. I looked today, I was doing some work on our website, BrayCentral.com, and looking at some pictures from some of the workouts here in the last couple of days, and they're all Ozuna laughing. He's laughing in almost every one of them. I didn't see that last year with Josh Donaldson. So, I mean, you know, it's the same circumstance of Ozuna being a pending free agent, and God knows I hope they keep him a lot more than I even wanted. I didn't want Josh Donaldson. I want Austin Riley to be the third baseman. So I got what I wanted there, and Donaldson went somewhere else, and that's fine. But I think we all want Ozuna back. But look, what I'm driving at here is this dynamic of this team and the home runs and the mix it up thing they're doing. I think that goes a long way of explaining why they're here tonight for game one of the National League Championship Series. I do. And I think that's one thing that if they beat the mighty Dodgers, who are the favorite, I don't even have to listen. I don't even want to read articles about who's predicting this series. I know what's going to be predicted. Then nobody's going to be taking the Braves. Not that I care, but as long as we take them, that's all. But nobody's going to be predicting the Braves are going to win this series. But to me, that dynamic we've been talking about here, which is a swagger, it is a fun swagger, it is not an offensive swagger. There are some teams, some players, you know this, who you watch, you get turned off by their swagger, by their confidence. No, I don't think anybody, I mean, people are going to be upset about Acuna because he beats them so bad. But I don't think it's an offensive, like, environment and mood compared to a year ago with Josh Donaldson. And I think that's helped the Braves a great deal. All right, we're going to take a break, come back. If you want to jump in for a phone call, you can. We'll take Braves predictions, and we're leading you up to game one of the National League Championship Series between the Braves and the Dodgers. And we're back with more on this Monday right after this.
Now, back to the Bill Shank Show on Sports Radio 93.1 WXKO, thesuperstations.com.
Back on our show, 478-646 ESPN. Benji and Perry, hello.
Hey, Bill, how you doing, my man?
Good.
Talking about swagger, man, I love the Braves swagger going this year, man. It's just, you don't get down. Everybody kind of holds their own, owns up for their mistakes, and just everybody picks each other up. And that, to me, translate over to the team we saw on Saturday. I mean, just last year in the South Carolina game, how it affected us. And then I talk about negative swagger, just like last year's team, but with the Florida Gators on Saturday. I wish I could take Russ's stance and be a non-fan of Georgia and just really talk about what I've seen on the field. But Florida, with their over-cockiness and the way that they – I mean, it's a poison. When you're out there bumping, bruising, and barking with that team every day, you know what everybody's capable of. And we showed it Saturday.
Well, they're an excellent team. They've got a great defense. Defense wins championships, and it can keep you in games against teams that have other advantages, that's for sure. And I think the Georgia fan base has got to feel better about what Georgia could do on Saturday in Tuscaloosa, much more after seeing what Ole Miss is able to accomplish.
And how about the defensive players back in Stetson? I mean, to me, that tells me something about what's really going on, you know, in between practices.
Yeah, they like him a great deal. I mean, I'm sure he's someone who they have to respect. They have to feel that him coming in and being able to step right in as the starter has been a great thing. And it's a great story. And you know what? If he goes to Tuscaloosa on Saturday and wins that game for Georgia, or helps them win the game and helps Kirby Smart become the first Nick Saban assistant to beat Nick Saban, it'll be as legendary as when Jake Fromm went to South Bend a few years ago as a freshman getting his first start ever in college football.
Bashing, because I love him, but Jake's pumped upness about, oh, we won the game. Stetson's cool, comical. I mean, he's got ice running through his veins, man. I mean, every interview that I've seen him do, no matter how bad or good, whatever, which he's played pretty well, you know, he just, even keel, you know, I mean, he realizes that he could be pulled any minute, but he goes out there and does what he's supposed to do, and I like it about the kid, man. I give him all the props in the world, and anyhow, go Dawgs, go Braves, and I'm going to say six. I think we got them. I do.
Okay.
They've got that swagger, but
all right.
Have a good one, Bill. Thanks,
Fred. Thank you very much. 478-646 ESPN, if you'd like to jump in. Again, tonight, Max Fried's on the mound for Atlanta. And Max has been just money for the Braves the entire year. We know that. He's just been outstanding for this Braves team. He has become their ace. And wouldn't it be great if there was Mike Soroka going for Atlanta in this first game or going tomorrow in game two? But nonetheless, Max has answered the call with an ERA of 2.25 in his 11 games in the regular season. And then he's given up, of course, the four runs in 11 innings in the two postseason starts. Perfect win against the Reds in the division series, wild card series rather, and then a game where he gave up the four runs against the Marlins in that first game. He's playing against the team he grew up for. I don't think it's going to be a problem. I think he's going to be fine. You got to remember now, Max played in a lot of games against the Dodgers 2 years ago in the playoffs, but that was as a reliever. He's now going to be a starter, so they're going to be able to see him as a starter, and I have confidence in him. Look, I said this almost flippantly going into to the postseason, and I didn't mean for it to be, but I think it's something that now you got to kind of look at and laugh considering what they've done in the first two rounds, and that is, you know, if they feel like they've got to be Glavin, Maddox, and Smoltz, and I'm talking about Fried, Anderson, and Wright, they're in trouble. And the Braves don't need them to be Glavin, Maddox, and Smoltz. The funny thing about it was those three pitchers collectively in the five games they played so far were better than Glavin, Maddox, and Smoltz probably ever did in a five-game stretch. They were unbelievable. They gave up four runs in five games. I don't know if that's realistic against the Dodgers. We know that there's no day off. So there's going to be a challenge. There's going to be a challenge in managing this team because of no days off. But all they've got to do, and this is what I said last week, and I was not trying to be funny, is they cannot be Tommy Malone and Robbie Erlin and Tuki Toussaint. And by saying that, I mean we can't see those guys go out there and wet the bed. Max Fried goes out there tonight and wets the bed in the second or third inning and gives up four or five runs. They're in trouble. They can't do that. That can't be something that they have to deal with, because that's going to be hard to recover against a team like the Dodgers. However, on the flip side, they don't have to be perfect. And we will have to see with these no days off how long Snitker will stick with the pitcher, what he feels like he can do with pitch counts. If the pitcher is sailing along like they've done, obviously, in four of the five games they've started, is Snitker going to let him go? Or is he going to take him out a little quicker to save them because he's got no days off in this series? But, the other thing is, if these starting pitchers, let's say Max tonight goes 5 1/3, goes into the sixth inning, gets one out in the sixth inning, right? He gives up 3 runs, 5 hits, and he gives up 3 runs. Well, that's not great, right? Better than he did in last start, not as great as he did the first start. But 3 runs allowed in 5 1/3 innings these days, hell, it's considered a pretty decent start. With the Braves bullpen, can they survive that? Well, yeah, they can. Now, they can't be shut out by Walker Buehler tonight. Obviously, that's going to be a problem. But, again, the big thing is these starting pitchers, while they don't have to be as perfect as they have been, they cannot wet the bed. They can't because, you know what? Starting pitching wins in the postseason. I'm sitting here watching a game right now, Tampa Bay and Houston. It's a low-scoring game. Last night's game, low-scoring game. People may be surprised with the two offenses the Braves and Dodgers have if there's a low-scoring game. I won't, because usually in October, you know what wins? Good starting pitching. So the Braves have got to have at least good starting pitching. They don't have to have great. Be great if they did, don't get me wrong, but they just can't wet the bed. They can't be Robbie Erlin. They can't be Tommy Malone. They can't be what Tuki Toussaint did. They've just got to be solid. If the Braves get 5 1/3, 5 2/3, 6 innings, 2-3 runs at the most, then you know what? They're going to do well in this series. They are. They're going to do well. But if they struggle with that, it could be a challenge. So, you know, it still comes down to starting pitching. That's why we were jonesing for another starter before the deadline. We thought it was so necessary. Hasn't been necessary yet. But, you know, the scary part is you kind of think that if the Dodgers do win this series, could starting pitching be the difference? And if that's the case, then we may look back on what was not done before the trade deadline. All right, we're going to take one more break. 478-646-ESPN. If you want to get in a quick prediction, you can. The Rays have just taken a 4-1 lead on a home run by Mike Zunino, the catcher. So it's 4-1 now in the seventh inning over Houston. Back with more right after this.
Back to the Bill Shanks Show on Sports Radio 93.1 WXKO, thesuperstations.com.
Welcome back. Thank you very much for being with us. Bill and Russ here. Walker Buehler for the Dodgers, Max Fried for the Braves. All right, again now, coming up in about 10 minutes or so, we're going to have the Braves Radio Network take over our airwaves for the pregame show. They'll get you ready for game one. First pitch tonight, 8 o'clock and at 8:08. And then, just a reminder now, after the game is over, I'm going to do a Facebook Live on our Facebook page, The Bill Shanks Show. So if you want to join us for more reaction and more discussion about the Braves and the LCS, we will have that on our Facebook Live page tonight. You can join us. Just go to the Facebook Live. You can follow the Bill Shanks Show and get an alert. And as long as I don't screw it up, we'll try to make it work. So we'll talk more Braves baseball, see how that goes. And, of course, be back tomorrow. We'll be on tomorrow until about 4:45 as the first pitch for tomorrow and Wednesday's games are going to be at 6 o'clock. So there you go. Another big part of the discussion for the playoffs has got to be on something that I think the Braves are going to have, if not an advantage, they're going to have good feelings about their chances, and that is defense. I'm sitting here watching as Tampa Bay has played phenomenal defense all day long. They just made two very good plays, one diving play at third and then a play at first to save a wild throw. Defense is so important. And, I mean, Russ, right now, I feel great about this defense, don't you?
Oh, there's no doubt. I mean, we saw it in that clincher against Miami. I mean, Ozzie overcame his height with a great vertical leap. And, I mean, we've seen these guys make plays. The play Markakis made on Dickerson to throw him out at second.
Yeah.
I mean, I know for Dickerson, that was a tough ball to read. It's a 50-50 guess on his part. But just a heads-up play there by Nick Markakis that really – I mean, it just took so much momentum away from Miami. They're first and second with nobody out in that situation, but Markakis makes the play, and instead there's a runner on first with one out, and the bullpen takes care of the rest. So, yeah, the defense for this team has been there. And as I've said all along, the only question mark I've had about this team was the starting pitching. And to the point of the starting pitching, as when Soroka went down with that injury, was a dumpster fire. I mean, it was Kyle Wright had not found himself, Tuki Toussaint, Bryce Wilson – Tommy Malone made starts for this team, Bill. I mean, it was bad.
Awful.
But they've come such a long way in such a short period of time to where Ian Anderson and Kyle Wright right now just look like, I mean, we've got a lot of baseball left this season, but as you go into the offseason, you start thinking about next year's rotation. I mean, if the money's there and you can go get a Trevor Bauer, sure. But, I mean, do you really need to add one? Because with Soroka coming back all of a sudden, I mean, this rotation looks four deep. So, this team is, they've got a chance to really do something special. And we say it every year. And I think we learned this through the 90s, with the Braves going to the playoffs over and over again. You know, don't take it for granted. It's been 19 years. I mean, we got used to doing this all the time. Now it's been 19 years since the Braves have been in a league championship series. So if you're here, you might as well win the dang thing.
Absolutely. And again, I keep on going back to this, Russ, because I think it simplifies things. Even though it's not very simple, and that is that all the Braves have to do is go 8-6. That's it. They've got to win 4 of 7 in this series against the Dodgers, and then 4 of 7 against either the Rays or the Astros if they win this series with LA. It's tough because it's obviously it's the biggest stage of the world, but. I think the Braves are ready for this. I don't think they're going to be overwhelmed. I think they've been there. I think they have prepared for this with the last 2 years of the postseason, with the loss of the Dodgers and, of course, the way they lost the Cardinals last year. They know how important the big hits are. And, look, they're going to have to find another hero. Travis d'Arnaud was a hero for this team in the playoffs. In the second round, he was tremendous. 2 home runs, 7 RBI. He was a hitting machine. They have to continue to have that type of player step up. Freddie has only had one hit in 5 games. That was the game winner in the 13th inning of game one. So they have to have someone else step up, whether it's Austin Riley, or I'm not saying some of the big guys can't be the hero, but there's got to be somebody that's got to step up and be the guy, and that's what they've got to bank on. 478-646 ESPN, Keith and Gray.
Hey, little Nicky Satan's right, and they checked that at the table. That's what happened last week. Oh, yeah.
Hello.
Hey, Satan, how you doing?
Good. Great.
I had a Yankees fan talking to me out at the Flash Foods parking lot there in Gray.
Man, you know what? When the conversations that happen – in the Flash Foods parking lot in Gray. God help us all.
No, he was talking crap. He was wearing a New York Yankees shirt, and I was saying, how about them Tampa Bay Devil Rays? Just a smart ass.
Sounds like a drive-by shooting waiting to happen.
Oh, good Lord. Yeah, I predict the Rays will win 4-3 tonight, and it's going to be a best of seven.
Yeah, it's best of seven, but who's going to win?
The Braves will.
Braves in 7. Okay, gotcha. Thank you. All right, look out in the parking lot. Maxie's on the mound tonight, obviously. It's going up against his favorite team as a kid. He grew up 25 miles from Dodger Stadium. I still say this being a neutral field, Russ, I think I'd be scared to death if this game tonight was in Dodger Stadium. I really would.
Yeah, I'd be worried about Max maybe overthrowing the curveball a little bit and bouncing some in the dirt. Yeah, no, there's no, because, and the nerves are still going to be there because that, you know, I can't imagine what that must feel like to go up against the team you grew up rooting for. But
sure.
Yeah, if it was in Dodger Stadium, that would be a completely different animal. By the way, Keith nailed it on the head, Bill. This will be a best of seven. If there's one thing I'm sure of,
yeah, I tell
it's
you.
That.
I mean, you know, it's that kind of observation that makes us have the best callers on the radio.
No doubt.
It's just, you know, amazing how on point they seem to be and you know, just back up their opinions with facts. I mean, it's just right there, clear as a day. Well, this is a great week for football, obviously, with Georgia and Alabama. Heck, Georgia Tech plays Clemson. I don't think that's going to be very – very good, but nonetheless, it's a big game because Georgia Tech will be playing the number one team in the country with Clemson, who obviously proved over the weekend against Miami that they're still the king of the ACC. Not that many people wondered about that, but they shut out Clemson, or rather Miami, pretty easily, and brought Derek, whatever his name is, King, back down to earth. So you got that. You got Georgia, Alabama. You got the Braves and the Dodgers, first time they've been in LCS in 19 years, and it's going to be every day. I mean, like a regular season, but it's biggest games of the year, obviously. Every out's important, every pitch is important, everything is important in this series. And, of course, the news that Dan Quinn and Thomas Dimitroff have been fired. Raheem Morris, the interim coach, Arthur Blank, and Rich McKay had a very unusual press conference today in Atlanta talking about the moves, and you know what, who cares, just let them finish the season. Pick the click tonight, Russ, who you got?
I'll go with Marcelo Ozuna.
Boy, that's a good one. I think Freddie Freeman's gonna bust out. Braves in seven. Russ, what you got?
I'm with you, man. Braves in seven.
Braves baseball is coming up. Don't forget the Facebook Live after the game on the Bill Shank Show Facebook page. And stay tuned. Game one of the National League Championship Series is coming up next right here on the Superstations.